It was December 4th, 2017, the night of my 73rd birthday. I was celebrating with my wife, Connie, our daughter, Catherine, our son-in-law, Nick, and our granddaughter at a restaurant near our home in Ventura, California. Nick, a firefighter, received a text at the dinner table around 7 p.m., alerting him that a strong brush fire had broken out in Santa Paula, California, an inland city about 20 miles east. There was no indication of an immediate problem. As the evening wound down, Connie and I said our goodbyes and made the short drive home. We noticed that the wind had picked up. By the time we pulled into our driveway, it was blowing at least 75 miles per hour. We went to bed around 9:30 p.m., just after the power had gone out as a result of the high winds, or so we assumed. We went to sleep. But Connie was later awakened at around 11 p.m. by the smell of smoke. She ran to the window and saw an angry red glow covering the whole skyline. The entire ridge across the street from us was on fire. We had no advance warning to prepare, but we knew we had to evacuate immediately. Having no electrical power, we propped open the garage door with a broom handle and backed out one of the cars. We loaded it up with important papers, our passports, family photos, and icons we had brought home with us from a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, and two of my prized instruments, a Gibson Lloyd Lohr F5 mandolin that Stephen Stills gave me many years ago, and a Martin D28 guitar that was gifted to me by the widow of Bill Smith, who had been one of my earliest musical mentors. We kept returning to the house for more things until I realized time was running out and we were in danger. The fire was gaining on us, and we could be trapped if we didn't get moving. We grabbed our dog, Daisy, started up the car, and headed down the hill. Having grown up in California, I was used to brush fires and their destructive potential when combined with powerful Santa Ana winds. I could tell that what we were seeing around us as we descended from the neighborhood was serious. This was a firestorm, and it was moving quickly, destroying everything in its path. Our son, who is also named Nick, phoned from Napa County. He had seen the news and was calling to tell us that we needed to evacuate immediately. We assured him we were already headed for safety. My phone rang again. It was John Jorgensen, one of my longtime friends and musical collaborators who happened to live with his wife Dixie on one of the city streets down the hill from the fire. He urged us to come to their house. When we arrived, we stood outside their door and where we could see the fire roaring across the hillside. Houses were literally exploding. We decided to evacuate to a hotel near the beach to avoid the danger zone. As we left, however, we hit complete gridlock. The county was evacuating families to the local fairgrounds for temporary shelter, and we got caught up in the traffic. The route was overwhelmed with thousands of people from all over western Ventura County, heading there with their horses and livestock. I turned the car around to go the other direction, but we soon discovered that the only available hotels were in the San Fernando Valley, almost an hour away. We eventually gave up and headed back to John and Dixie's for the night. I slept through the night. Connie didn't. At about 5 in the morning, she saw a fire battalion chief parked with a bank of engines, holding the line where the hillside neighborhoods met the flatland. She asked if it was possible for him to check his interactive map to see if our home was still standing. He promised to do more than that. "I'll go up and check for you," he told her, "and I'll call you in 20 minutes. He kept his word. When Connie answered her phone, he said, "If I have the right place, I think your house made it, but everything around you is gone." When the sun rose, we decided to drive up the hill to check on our home. "It's possible," I told Connie as we got in the car, "that the house is gone. We might not have a home anymore." And she squeezed my hand. "But we're alive," she responded, "and that's all that matters." Connie has always had a wonderful way of putting things in perspective.